If you open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 39, if you did not get a handout for our study tonight, hold your hand up. Brother Phil just longs to hand out notes. So if you did not get one, hold your hand up high. He'll bring it to you right where you're at. Genesis, chapter 39. I appreciate the music tonight and also this morning. I asked about the song this morning, Rescue a Sinner Like Me. Terry and Sharon Templeton sang that so much. That's one of my favorite songs. And also tonight, The Value of One is one of my favorites. So I appreciate so much those special music in addition to others. All right, we'll continue our study tonight on the life of Joseph. We began last Sunday night. I'd like to continue that tonight in Genesis chapter 39. Remember last week, it began that Joseph was 17 years old and how he was favored by his father. And his father gave him a coat of many colors, which is a coat, a kingly coat. It was a coat usually referring to royalty. And just it showed all his brothers how his father favored him over all the other boys. And because of that, the other brothers became very jealous, became very envious, and to the point they hated their brother because of that. And we also saw that not only did the father, Jacob, favor Joseph, but also God appeared to favor him by giving him a dream. Dreams at that time were God's visions given to people. So in the brother's eyes, not only does our father favor him, so does God. And it caused them to hate him so much the more. We know the story ended that they sought together to kill him. And they wanted to take his life from him. And one of the brothers, Reuben, devised another plan. So instead of killing him, let's sell him and make some money off of him. And then Ishmaelites came, was coming by. And they sold Joseph to Ishmaelites and then took his coat and killed an animal and put blood all over it and brought it back to his dad. He said, "Dad, we don't know for certain this is his coat, but it appears something's happened to our brother Joseph." And, of course, his father just wailed because of the loss of his son. And so this takes up what left off. In chapter 39, verse 1, as what left off, he was taken by the Ishmaelites all the way down to Egypt. And so if you take out your notes, please, I'm going to look at tonight. God used three disciplines in the life of Joseph to prepare him to be ruler in Egypt. Everything that happened in the life of this young man, God was working. God was preparing him to be a ruler in Egypt. And I hope that you, from this, you might see when catastrophes, things happen in your life, it doesn't happen by chance. It doesn't happen by accident. God's using it for a purpose in your life, preparing you for something great. So God used three disciplines. Well, look at them tonight. Three disciplines in the Joseph life to prepare him to be ruler in Egypt. Number one, the first one, is the discipline of service. The discipline of service. Letter A, Joseph was sold as a slave. Look in verse 1, please. Chapter 39, verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, a captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him thither. And number one, Joseph exchanged his kingly coat for a servant's garb. He exchanged his kingly coat, remember the multicolored coat that his father gave him, and exchanged it for a servant's garb. Once favored by his father and to the point over all his brothers, now he was made a slave. And God's working, preparing him to be a ruler in Egypt. Jacob had tried to shield Joseph from the responsibilities of work, but God knew that Joseph could never be a ruler until he first became a servant. Some of the greatest leaders today in the church once were servants of men. And sometimes people think serving others is beneath me, but that's how God prepares leaders, is by serving others. Number two, God forced him to learn how to work. God forced him to learn how to work. If you remember the first chapter we read about him, didn't talk about him doing any work. We know his brother, by the way, he was 17, that's old enough to work. But the brothers were out watching the flocks and caring for that. And remember, Jacob sent him to check his brothers out, make sure they're doing the job. But it does not say he was doing any work himself. So God forced him to learn how to work. This way, he learned humility and the importance of obeying others. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5, do not turn, I'll read it to you. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So that's what God was doing to Joseph. He was humbling him. Where he had a coat of many colors from the outside view, it was a kingly coat, coat favored by his dad. And now what's he doing? He's a slave. He's a servant, bought and paid for by a man by the name of Potiphar. God was working. God had not forgot about him. God was preparing him to be a ruler. Let her be. Notice the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. We saw, first of all, Joseph was sold as a slave. Now let her be. The Lord was with Joseph. Number one, God blessed and prospered him. God blessed and prospered him. Look in verse 2, please. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And I like this next phrase. Help you fill in the blanks. Because Joseph was faithful in small things, God promoted him to do greater things. Fill in those blanks, please. Because Joseph was faithful in the small things, God promoted him to do greater things. Proverbs 22:29 says this, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule. So here he is, could have got a poor mouth and become, felt sorry for himself and depressed, said, here I am, my brothers hated me and sold me to slavery, and now I'm nothing but a servant, but he worked hard. He worked hard, God blessed him because of that. Number two, Potiphar noticed God's blessings. Potiphar noticed God's blessings. Number one, God blessed him and prospered him, but now his master who purchased him noticed this in his life. We need to realize if you work for someone, they're watching you. They're noticing your attitude, what you do, and how you work. So did Potiphar. In verse 3, it says this, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he had to prosper in his hand, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and made him overseer over his house. And all that he had was put into his hand. How God blessed him and prospered him. For a servant, a slave, to the point now that Potiphar noticed God was with him, and to the point everything Potiphar had, he put in his hand. Now he is the steward of the Potiphar. And everything Potiphar owned was placed in the hand of Joseph. Interesting. Proverbs 16:7 says this, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies be at peace with him. Let me say it again. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I want to encourage you, as a man or woman, purpose to please the Lord. So often people in the ministry and like that, they seek to please people. But if you please the Lord, you please those who want to please the Lord. Think about that. If you please people, sometimes you won't please God. But you purpose, I don't care what man thinks of me or I please him or not, I just want to please God. If you please the Lord, you'll please those who want to please the Lord. Now we saw, let us see now, look at, the Lord blessed Potiphar's house because of Joseph. The Lord blessed Potiphar's house because of Joseph. Look in verse 5, please. And it came to pass at the time that he had made him overseer, talking about a steward of his house, and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not all that he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Wow. No doubt Potiphar was a very wealthy man because of his position in Egypt. Everything he had, he committed to this man who was his slave and trusted him. And it said he didn't know what he had except the food before him on the table. What a trust in this man who proved himself. So this was a discipline of service. Number two, now the discipline of self-control. Remember, God uses three disciplines to prepare this man to be ruler in Egypt. Discipline of service, and now Roman number two, the discipline of self-control. Now, begin in verse 7, and notice your name, letter A, the advances of a woman in Joseph's life. Number one, put it down, an explicit invitation. An explicit invitation. Look in verse 7, please. Chapter 39 and verse 7. That's what it says here. And it came to pass after these things, talking about after he was put in position of being an overseer of all of Potiphar's house, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, what? Lie with me. She didn't pull any punches. She didn't kind of make it vague. She didn't say, won't you spend time with me? Won't you come on in and talk? She said, let's go to bed together. I mean, she gets right explicit invitation. Now, I want you to think about this. Here's a young man, probably now, I don't know, 19, 20, 21 years old. And you count on Potiphar's wife was probably a very well, good-looking woman. He was the captain of the Pharaoh's guard. They got to choose their wives. So this was not some unsightly woman. This probably was a very attractive woman who was throwing herself at this young man. And did not miss any words, didn't say, well, we'll come and spend the time together. She said, come and lie with me. There's an explicit invitation. Number two, it was a continual solicitation. A continual solicitation. Look in verse 10. And it came to pass as she spoke to Joseph, what? Day by day. It was not a one-time invitation. Every single day she's throwing herself at him. Men, what would you do? What would you do? It was not only a continuous solicitation. Number three, it was a physical enticement. A physical enticement. Look in verse 12. And she called him by his garment, saying, lie with me. I mean, now she goes to the point physically grabbing him and said, lie with me. So it began a explicit invitation, a continuous solicitation, and a physical enticement. Yet the Bible says, do not turn there, that I'm going to show you here, read the scripture, that sex outside of marriage is wrong. Though Potiphar's wife was married, Joseph was not. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that everyone should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor. The word possess means to exercise self-control. God has given all of us physical appetites. And usually those become very evident and most powerful in young age, in teenage years, in the 20s and 30s. Here's a young man, possibly in his late teens, early 20s, who has a very, very, very nice woman throwing herself at him. And he did not respond. And the Bible says for us today that every one of you should know how to possess, exercise self-control over his vessel. What is your vessel? Your body and its appetites in sanctification and honor. Do not turn them, but 1 Corinthians 9:25. It says, every man that striveth for the mastery, to about the competition, is temperate in all things, means self-control. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore, Paul says, so run not as uncertainty, so fight I not as one that beateth in the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means I have preached unto others, I myself have become a castaway. So Paul's telling us he takes his physical appetites and desires and passions and bring them under control. Because if you don't, you know what happens. And that's what the world does today. And here's a young man. By the way, he didn't have a Bible. This is before, remember, Moses wrote the first five books. Moses wasn't even born yet. Here's a man that didn't have a Bible. yet he knew right from wrong, and has a woman thrown himself at her, and he would not give in. And so you and I need to realize we have the Word of God, and we are to abstain from sexual immorality and bring our body under control. Next, letter B. Notice Joseph's response. And again, men, what would you do? If you were just a young man. Now, think about this. If any young man had a right or maybe the understanding to be bitter, to be upset, to be depressed, look what's happened to his life. His brothers hated him, sought to kill him, and they sold him to slavery. Here he is in a foreign land, no family, nobody there, all by himself. And now a young woman throws herself at him. What would you do? Notice Joseph's response. Number one, he refused. He refused the advances of this woman. Verse 8. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. Notice here, God was testing Joseph. This is not, even though God did not entice this woman to do that, God allowed this to test him. Every temptation comes your way is a testing of God in your life to see what you'll do. God was testing Joseph, for if Joseph could not control himself as a servant, he would never control himself as a ruler. So if Joseph would have gave in and failed, chances are you would not find him ruling in Egypt. But he passed the test. Letter B, he could have rationalized sin and thought, nobody would know, everybody else is doing it. But instead, he chose to please God. Joseph lost his coat, but he kept his character. He lost his coat, but kept his character. So his response, number one, he refused. Number two, he would not obey. He would not obey. Now remember, this woman probably was his boss in the home. This was his boss's wife. And no doubt she had some authority over him in the house. He was a servant. She was the wife of the master. And she enticed him and told him to come and lie with me. But he would not obey. Verse 10. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not. The word hearken means he obeyed not unto her, to lie by her or to be with her. Acts 5:29, Peter said to the apostle, we ought to obey God rather than what? If a man ever asks you to do something contrary to the Bible, though the person may be your boss, may be a human government official, we should obey God and not men. So response number one, he refused. Number two, he would not obey. Number three, I like this one, he ran away. He ran away. In verse 12, it said, and she called him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. I like that, don't you? Got him out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, Paul says to Christians, flee fornication. The word flee means to seek safety by flight and by vanish. To vanish, to get out of there, run. I'm sure you've heard this before, but every time I see the word flee, my mind goes back to when I was about 14 years old, when I lived on a farm in a town called Chiefland, Florida. We had pigs and chickens, and we used to live off them, or eat off them. We had bacon, we had pork, we had fried chicken. And I remember many times my dad would kill some chickens, and we'd have chicken for dinner. And after my dad would kill the chickens, my mom would always give it a big old pot and boiling hot water. Because what did she have to do before we kicked it? She had to pluck out the feathers. How many have done that before? Some of you have. You stick that in that boiling hot water, and it makes the feathers come out a lot easier. And so she did that. This water was boiling hot water, and she's plucking the chicken. And then she goes out, she gets done, she says, she told my brother, I said, Randy, take this and throw this out in the backyard. My brother went out the back porch and threw it in the bushes behind the back porch. And there was no mangy dog laying in those bushes. and threw that hot water on that dog. He didn't know the dog was there. But the dog, my goodness, did he run. And the sight I never forget the rest of my life. He was running so fast, his back legs running faster than his front legs. And he was running sideways. And about 50 yards, the back legs caught up with the front legs, and he started going straight. But he was running and called a scalded dog. My friend, that's the picture here. When you're tempted, there's sometimes we're not to stand and resist. We're to flee. We're to flee. And that's what he did. He was a young man. He had passions like you have. And no doubt they wanted to fulfill themselves. And now this woman physically grabbed him and said, "Lie with me." What did he do? Now picture that dog. He ran. He ran. And the reason for his response, look in verse 9. He concludes in verse 9. He says, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against who? God." Now his sin would have been against Potiphar, because this was his wife. He goes past man. He says, "This is a deed of wickedness, and how can I do this and sin against God Almighty?" 1 Corinthians 6:18, it says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that commit fornication sinneth against his own body." Hebrews 13:4, "Marriage is honorable, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will," what? "Judge." My friend, sex is not wrong. In fact, God's created sex. In fact, the first command God gave Adam and Eve, you know what it was? "Be fruitful and multiply." What was he saying? He said, "Go have sex." That was God's plan. It's God's plan within the bounds of marriage. Outside of marriage is called fornication. It is wrong. It is sin. And God will judge it. In the bounds of marriage, it is pleasing and honorable to God. Marriage is honorable, and the bed, marriage bed, is what? Undefiled. What happens there is pleasing to God, because that's God's plan. But outside of the marriage bed, it is sin, and God judges that. So, letter A, we saw the advances. We saw Joseph's response. Letter C now. Now the enraged woman. The enraged woman. Notice number one, Joseph's rejection. Joseph's rejection. In verse 11, it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there was none of the men of the house there within. And she called him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment there and fled and got him out. This woman was probably not used to rejection. She probably got everything she wanted. She wanted this young man, and he left. Joseph's rejection. Number two, Potiphar's wife was infuriated. Potiphar's wife was infuriated. She was extremely mad. In fact, she expressed that. Letter A, she lies to her servants. She lies to her servants about what happened. So upset for rejection. Look in verse 13, please. "And it came to pass when she," Potiphar's wife, "saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, 'See, he hath brought in a Hebrew into us to mock us. He came unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard it, I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled at and got him out.'" She lied. In other words, she told that he advanced her and not the opposite. So she lied to her servants. Next, letter B, she lies to her husband. She lies to her husband. Look in verse 16. "And she laid up his garment by her until her lord," talking about her husband, "came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, 'This Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, I lifted my voice and cried, he left his garment with me and fled out.'" She lied. So we saw, first of all, last week, God was using to test him. There's the discipline of service, the discipline of self-control, and number three, now the discipline of suffering. The discipline of suffering. Remember, God is discipling this young man to be a ruler. He does it through service. He does it through self-control, and now through suffering. Letter A, God is working and molding a leader. He's working and molding a leader. Number one, Joseph suffered false accusation. He suffered false accusation. Look in verse 19. And it came to pass when his master heard these words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, at this manner did the servant do to me. He was wrath. His wrath was kindled. Number two, he suffered false imprisonment. He suffered false accusation. She lied about him, accusing him to do what she'd done. And now he suffered false imprisonment. Verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. So God is still molding the man through suffering, through false accusation, through imprisonment. In fact, do not turn there. 1 Peter 2 says this, verse 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if ye, when you are buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently. But when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. He was accused falsely and took it patiently. So, letter A, God's working and molding a leader. Letter B, God honors the right response to suffering. How do you respond when you suffer? Do you begin to complain and pour mouth how terrible life is and don't know how God's forsaken you and turned his back on you? God honors right response to suffering. Number one, God showed him mercy and favor. Now he's in prison, falsely accused, falsely in prison, accused of trying to advance his master's wife. But God shows him mercy and favor because he responded correctly. Verse 21. And the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. He's moved from now Potiphar's house, and there he served the Lord and showed himself faithful and did that was right. God blessed him and prospered him. But now he's falsely accused, thrown in prison. Now in prison. It'd be easy to say, oh, why should I serve the Lord? What serving the Lord done for me? It's put me in prison. But he kept doing what was right. He kept doing what's right. And God showed him mercy there. Number two, God exalted and prospered Joseph. Number one, God showed him mercy and favor. And now God exalted and prospered him. Look in verse 22. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners that were in prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was in under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. My friend, Joseph kept doing what was right. So many of us justify doing wrong because our problems in life. This is the hand life dealt with me. Why should I serve the Lord? Why should I honor him? Look what he's done for me. He's put me in prison. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall what? Lift you up. Joseph suffered as a prisoner for at least 2 years. At least 2 years he's a prisoner, maybe longer. It helped to make him the man God wanted him to be. Suffering is essential and necessary to develop character. Some of you are suffering right now. You say, what is God doing? He's developing character. Let's wrap it up tonight. Let me give you 5 lasting lessons to learn from Joseph tonight. Hope you write them down. Letter A, You learn to be a good ruler by learning to be a good servant. You learn to be a good ruler by learning to be a good servant. Mark 10:43, whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, your servant. Let her be. The next lesson to learn. Self-control is only accomplished by God's control. Self-control is only accomplished by God's control. Galatians 5:20, you know the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. What's the next word? Temperance. Self-control. If you ever get in a position Joseph is in, I guarantee you, man, you stand in your own strength, you'll be fallen in a moment. Self-control is only accomplished by God's control, being controlled by the Spirit of God. Letter C. We're just about done. The third life lesson to learn, faithfulness in small things prepare us to be used of God in bigger things. Faithfulness in small things prepares us to be used of God in bigger things. Faithfulness in just showing up in choir during rehearsal means God's going to use you in a bigger way. Faithfulness to show up to the nursery to change dirty diapers. God's preparing you to do something better. Faithfulness in small things, may I say this, is a big thing to God. Luke 16:10, do not turn there. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in the much. He that is unjust in the least is also in the much. In other words, God wants to see, if I put you in a position of leadership, He's going to test you to see how you do as a servant. If you're not faithful in small things, He won't put you in a bigger position. So be faithful, whatever you're doing, wherever you're at, be faithful. No matter how small it is, be faithful. God's testing you, preparing you for something bigger. Letter D. There are some temptations we ought to stand and resist. There are some temptations we ought to stand and resist. There are others which victory can only be gained by running. There are others that victory can only be gained by running. That's the reason Paul didn't say stand and resist fornication. He said what? Flee. Because men and women, you can't resist it. You need to run. That's God's method. Run. Letter E, and we're done. Suffering develops character. Suffering develops character. James 1:3. Knowing this, that the trying, the testing of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire. Wanting means lacking nothing. Many of us lack character in our lives. We may be strong in one area, but weak in this area. And what God does to strengthen up that weak area, you know what He does? He says, my child needs to suffer a little bit. And that suffering develops character. But I want to encourage you to purpose, no matter what suffering you go through, be like Joseph, be found faithful. More of us are quarrel stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. No matter where you're at, what you're doing, what life situation you're in, you purpose to please God, honor Him, be faithful to Him. God's testing you for a bigger and greater job. But if you fail in the small, He won't put you in the greater. So be found faithful no matter where you're at, and God notices, and God will exalt you one day. Let's bow together, please. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for the life of Joseph, a young man that was tempted in a powerful way, but he saw the temptation, the sexual immorality, as a sin, a wickedness against you yourself. Father, may we see, we live in a world where fornication is rampant. It's looked upon as something right and acceptable, but yet the Bible calls it sin. And Father, may we adopt a biblical philosophy towards this and purpose to do what's right. Keep our hearts, our lives clean. I know here tonight we got many young people. We have young people that are not married. And oh, how the devil would like to tempt them in that area. I pray, Father, they would keep themselves clean and pure until the time comes that God provides a husband, a wife for that individual. But until that time, keep themselves pure. Father, help us to be faithful in the little things, that you can use us in the big things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. What time?